Now, I hope this won't turn out to be a history lesson. It's supposed to be a sermon, and I was supposed to go away challenged and uplifted, encouraged, and I hope it will be that. I was struck by the words that the group just led us in. I give my whole life to honor this. I didn't get the last word. No. Yeah, to honor this love. I wonder, did you mean that? Did you? I give my whole life to honor this love. Now, the answer to that, of course, the answer to that sort of thing is very, very wide. How do you give your life to honor that love? Well, I want to share with you today a little bit of how you can give your life to honor that love. So let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we listen and as we are challenged through your word and through what we hear, that you will help us by your Holy Spirit to even think about how we give our lives, how we give our lives to honor your love for us in Jesus Christ and all for your glory. Amen. Now, it's a very grand title, President of the Presbyterian Children's Society. I don't get a president's salary. In fact, I get nothing. But it just means I chair the board of the Presbyterian Children's Society, and you'll hear a wee bit more about that later. But you can see we've been going since 1866, over 160 years. Now, the Presbyterian Children's Society was founded in 1866 in Belfast. And of course, it was during the Victorian era and less than 20 years after the Irish famine. So they were tough years here on this island. And the debate involving a number of eminent philanthropic people was centered on two figures who seemed to found eventually the society. One was the Reverend Dr. William Johnson, who was the minister of Townsend Street in Belfast. Incidentally, that church just this last year, I think it was last year, closed, no longer a congregation. And if you don't know where it is, if you're going in the West Link, it's just you can see the roof of it above that big wall as you go in the West Link. That was, and it's a huge building. It was a big church in its day. The Reverend Dr. William Johnson, minister of Townsend Street, and Dr. Wilberforce Arnold, who was a medical doctor and a member of Elmwood Presbyterian Church. And that building, if you're at Queen's University, that's the big church just down from the Students' Union a bit. I did exams in that building, but the Presbyterian Church sold it to Queen's. You see, people were moving out of the area, and I mean, you don't need buildings if there are no people there to go to church. The church is people. So Dr. Arnold, a medical doctor, and Arnold wrote to local newspapers appealing for help on behalf of Presbyterian children. Johnson, who saw four children of parents who died in his own area, and they ended up as street urchins, he decided to help set up an organization to address such need. And so on the 14th of December 1865, a meeting took place to examine what provision might be made for Presbyterian orphans. And in subsequent meetings, the matters addressed were the raising of money to fund the provision of care and the mechanisms to govern any organization which might be formed. And so, in true Presbyterian style, the inaugural meeting of the society itself was held on Wednesday, the 2nd of May, 1866, 157 years ago. In the Linen Hall Street Presbyterian Church, which was known as Ninth Presbyterian Church, Belfast, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the press of the time widely reported this Belfast event. And a cursory glance of those same newspapers, however, also presents a picture of the casual brutality of the times. On that day of the inaugural meeting, the Belfast newsletter reported the finding of the dead body of a child in the River Lagan. The case of a small boy stabbing another boy. And the Northern Whig on the same day recorded that a seven-month-old infant left to be minded by another child had been accidentally severely burned. It's apparent that in the midst of a growing Belfast affluence, because in those days, in the late 1800s, Belfast was, the rich were getting richer, businesses were booming, shipbuilding was booming and all the rest of it. Belfast was preparing, of course, in the next century to become the capital of a new state. And in the midst of that growing affluence, there was still poverty and destitution. And the society as a vehicle for caring for Presbyterian children arrived not a moment too soon. Because as you see from the slide, Belfast grew from a small population of just 19,000 people at the beginning of the century to 349,000. And maybe many of the people from this area ended up going down to Belfast to work in the various industries. The number of destitute children, of course, was growing as well. So the next slide, John, thanks. Many social problems were prevalent, and there was a growing number of destitute children, and the church was challenged to respond to the growing needs of its communities, needs which have continued until today. As I was coming out this morning, Sunday Sequence was on Radio Ulster, and that was the theme this morning, the great need, and the great need of people to give to the strong people and the wealthy people to give to help those who are in need. And so the next slide, thank you. So 2023, the cost of living increases. And we in the society are finding that is more and more, and not just coming from congregations that you would regard as poor congregations, but congregations where, you know, just overnight a father finds himself out of work, and a mother looking after children, and they just find that they have emergency needs, and so the minister sees this, and if he can't get money from his own congregation, he applies to the society. Next slide. And the weekly budget, of course, is exceeded. So what has all this to do with a sermon in a church this morning? Well, let me develop that a little bit. Let me show you some words that you already know and I already know from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, says, "And we urge you, brothers and indeed sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, and see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Seek to do good. And that is what it's about, because that is what Jesus would have done. And so the Presbyterian Children's Society, it was founded on biblical principles. The society has indeed, down through all those years, been used as an instrument of compassion. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by giving out grants to ministers to hand on to families. Thank you. And so when a family is elected onto the society and there's an election at the board, they then would get a regular grant, a quarterly grant, and then also a summer grant and a Christmas grant, a summer grant to help buy uniforms for children for school. Increasingly over the past number of years, there have been more exceptional grants given out. And that's the sort of thing when a minister is going round his congregation and he discovers that maybe overnight something has happened in a family, an emergency occurs, and on a cold winter's day, they discover that they have no oil in their oil tank. And so he will maybe go to his congregational treasurer and say, well, can we help these people? And in Ballywillan, you have an emergency fund. But in some congregations, they don't have that. And so the minister will ring up the office in Belfast in Glengall Street and will get an exceptional grant. And that's a one-off, just to tide them over until things get better. And other grants for other emergencies that arise. So there are regular, exceptional, and other grants. Thank you. So this past year, 890 young people were helped with grants, and that's from 450 families in just 200 congregations. That's about a third of the congregations in our denominations have been helped. In 1866, 175 children were helped. Numbers have increased and decreased over the decades. The war years showed great needs, but here isn't a place to start a statistical report, but numbers fluctuate. At the moment, numbers have increased, certainly in the last few years. Thank you. Now, in the board, and I've been on the board now for, I suppose, maybe 10, 12 years, I just can't remember, but long debates have happened down through the years, the decades, regarding the categories other than orphans. At the beginning, it was known as the Presbyterian Orphan Society. I remember as a little boy, our minister getting us children together. Mind you, you wouldn't do it now, child protection rules and so on and so forth. But we were given out cards and we were sent out into the country roads and country lanes and to collect money for the Orphan Society. That wouldn't happen nowadays, although still many rural congregations still collect for the Orphan Society. Then, because orphan wasn't a terribly PC word, then we changed our name a number of years ago to the Presbyterian Children and Orphans Society. And in the last few years, that name was dropped, and we just call ourselves now the Presbyterian Children's Society. And it is your society. I mean, it is the society of the Presbyterian Church, even though it is not under the jurisdiction of the General Assembly. We're a separate organization, so the General Assembly doesn't pass any resolutions to rule us. We're a separate organization, a charity. But society changes. I mean, many years ago, if you were a divorced person, you couldn't get remarried in the Presbyterian Church. Now we find that grants go to families, 40% of the families that we help, or at least in the last few years, 40%, as you see there on the slide, were because of marriage breakups. 21% were orphans, in the sense that we know the word. 13% because of jobless situations. 13% where there's a single parent. And 10% where there's disabled needs. But I want to return to the book of Ruth that Valerie read to us earlier. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. It's there, thank you. The book of Ruth. And I just want to dwell on that just for a moment or two now. Next slide, John. Here we find there was an inevitability of crisis. There was a famine. They were in a foreign, Naomi was in a foreign country. She had gone there with her husband because of famine. There she, her family, her two sons had died. And then she looks to the future whenever the famine happens. The Bible is saturated with examples of God's people working together for the upbuilding of his body on earth, which today is the church people. And we had a study this week on our Ballywillan app. Thank you, Ron, for that, that challenged us about this individualism or the corporate nature of the church, etc., etc. And so often we get too individualistic and we forget that we are part of a body, that we are to help one another. The Bible is saturated with examples of God's people working together for the upbuilding of his body on earth, which is today the church. Thank you, Johnny. And so there is the importance of community. In Deuteronomy, way back at the beginning, near the beginning of the Old Testament, we have there right from the beginning, "But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted. Do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need." Thank you. And so we find in verses 16 and 17 that Valerie read from Ruth 1. But Ruth said, "Don't force me to leave you." Here's the invitation to commitment. Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die, and that's where I'll be buried. So help me God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. And so we read that when Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. And we get this lovely picture in the next verse. Thank you, John. This instinct for compassion. Can you just picture it? And so the two of them traveled on together. Arm in arm, maybe. The two of them traveled on arm in arm together to Bethlehem. And of course, we know that Ruth, in the fullness of time, became an ancestor of Jesus Christ himself. Thank you, Johnny. And so we find this helping in hard times in the book of Ruth. There's the ministry of presence there, alongside Ruth, alongside Naomi, proximity. The ministry of practical love, to care for this older woman. A ministry that is private, certainly in the Presbyterian Children's Society. Nobody in a congregation should know about it except the minister, because it is only through the minister that the society works. A ministry that prepares the way for a personal encounter with God, bringing the compassion of God. But then Valerie went on to read, thank you, Johnny, another passage in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. And I think, apart from the bit that we read about that, next slide. Right, thank you. The next slide. In the Good Samaritan, notice, yes, that he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he put him on his donkey, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And that, in a way, is like the emergency grant, the exceptional grant. You know, he helped him, one off. But I think the important thing in that story is also in that little verse that we so often pass by. This Good Samaritan says, "And I'll come back and I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have." That was the ongoing care of this man. And Jesus is telling this story for us today. Thank you, Johnny. There, alongside to care, sensitively bringing the compassion of God, sustainability, ongoing care. Thank you, Johnny. And it is completely confidential. No elder should know. No, except the minister. No, nobody else in the congregation should know. People should be confident. I mean, when you go to a food bank, other people see you. But the Presbyterian Children's Society works on a very confidential basis, only dealing with the minister, the society, the minister, and the family. And when a minister gets a family to fill in a form and it comes up to the board, the board then deal with that. And, I mean, I don't think we have ever had to turn down a minister's request, except whenever money's getting tight. Some people look at the budget of the Presbyterian Children's Society and we see that, you know, over the 150 odd years we've amassed big money. But it's a bit like a farmer. It's all invested. I mean, you look at a farmer's son. I know we have farmers in the country. You look at a farmer and you think a farmer's very rich, but a lot of his money is ploughed into tractors and sheds and buildings and all the rest of it. And it's the same with the Presbyterian Children's Society. Our money is tied up in investments, and we need to use the money coming from that because we don't get enough from congregations. If we didn't have the investments, we wouldn't be able to help the children that we do. And so I'm appealing that, I suppose, today to congregations to take the Presbyterian Children's Society maybe a wee bit more seriously. But it's completely confidential. Next, thank you. The Presbyterian Children's Society has a board. As I say, we're not under the jurisdiction of the General Assembly, but we're there to help children of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. We have an executive secretary who does a wonderful job, Jason Nicholson. We have a finance secretary who just appointed a new secretary for finance. She's a qualified accountant. Used to work for, she was the finance officer in All Souls Langham Place. She's come back to Northern Ireland. We have a clerk, and those are the three full-time workers in the office. Although we do, the finance secretary at the moment is just working 4 days a week, so someone else coming in to help in the office. So what shall we render unto him for all his goodness ought to be the language of our hearts. The founder of the society were passionate about making a difference. And the quote from Dr. Wilberforce Arnold, one of the founders of the society in the language of the time, conveys an urgency about the passion for the work. It was said of him that he was animated. Dr. Arnold was animated with an earnest sympathy for human suffering when he took up the cause of the orphans. He threw himself into it with all the ardent enthusiasm of his nature. And of the Reverend Dr. William Johnson, another founder, it was said that his name will long remain unmoved from the annals of active philanthropy as it continues to scatter its manifold mercies among the inmates of many desolate hearths and homes. And what about Mrs. Johnson, the lady of the manse? Well, she was the wife of the founder, Dr. Johnson. It was said of her that her fundraising letters to congregations all over the church wakened up the lagging, encouraged those doing well to do better, and stirred those who thought they had done their best to surpass them. Well, the language may be antiquated in these contemporary descriptions, but the import is clear. These were people who were passionately focused and gave freely to this Christian work, and congregational secretaries. And I want to pay tribute to people like Valerie Elliott, congregational secretaries doing such a sterling work for the master. And you have seen Valerie Elliott, Ballywillan's secretary. And today there are many thousands of charities calling upon our finances. Here in this congregation, you have Eswatini, and you have Food Bank, and you have various other things that are important. So why support the work of the Presbyterian Children's Society? Every congregation needs to be constantly confronted with its calling as a Christian community. All who trust in Jesus Christ are called to promote such a community which operates under grace and helps us to give as we are able, to enable compassion and meet each other's needs in reciprocation, not as passive individuals, but as equal participants. The motto of Ballywillan, do you know it? Oh, you're looking at the hymn sheet. To know Christ and to lovingly make him known. To know Christ yourself and then to make him known to others. And from its inception in 1866, the Presbyterian Children's Society has taken its responsibility to help families of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and their children. And they've taken this extremely seriously. It has a biblical mandate to help the orphan, the widow, and the alien, which equates today to those who are powerless in our society, in our congregations. Those who are powerless and whose basic needs require to be met to fulfill their full potential in society. The society, I believe, as an arm of the church, is in the business of changing lives in a positive way for Christ. We can help change lives, and we have the means through our unique relationship with ministers of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and straightforward, efficient, and confidential grant system, delivering help simply and swiftly. However, we do rely on Presbyterians individually and as congregations to generously respond to make our work possible. And we will always face financially challenging times. Of course we will. And none more so in the present year that we're in. A community of God should relate to one another quietly, anonymously, unobtrusively, and generously. And the Presbyterian Children's Society seeks to do that. Someone has asked the question, is a family worth more than a box of cereal? I couldn't tell you what a box of cornflakes costs. I should know, but I don't. But is a family worth more than a box of cereal? And of course, the answer is yes. But a number of the congregations where the Presbyterian Children's Society has helped, giving to the society averaged less than the price of a packet of breakfast cereal. On the other hand, helping each family, we help meet the family, on the other hand, helping each family we help costs at least £1,000 per person per annum. So how should we respond? Many of us would never dream of donating only one box of cereal to a food bank, let alone to a family in need in our area. So perhaps this morning in worship, God might be calling you to preferably respond to the needs of Presbyterian families within our denominations. We here in Ballywillan are a fairly well-heeled congregation. Respond to the needs of Presbyterian families and their children by supporting the society with a little more than the price of a packet of cereal. In the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 8 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul is wanting to prick the consciences of the church in Corinth. And what does he do? He speaks about the generosity of their neighbours further north, up in Macedonia. And what does he say in verse 5? Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. And here's the important bit. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Isn't that what the group have just been leading us in singing? I give my whole life to honor this love. And Paul's saying to the Corinthians, he's trying to urge them to give a bit more to help. And he's saying, look, your neighbors way up in the north of Greece, in Macedonia, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. And isn't that the secret? They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. That's the challenge. That's always the challenge. And the challenge this morning to you as you go out is, yes, remember what I've said about the Presbyterian Children's Society. But the challenge is two things. First of all, have I given myself to the Lord? Have I really? Really trusting Him? To forgive me my sins? To come into my life and make me a new person? Have I given myself to the Lord? And if I have, all those years ago, or a few weeks ago, or whenever, how am I doing that day by day? How am I living that out? How am I giving myself to the Lord in this month of February, 2023? Let us pray. Father God, we pray that the words of my lips and the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.